Hey, Ephesians 3:20, here we go. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Amen? You may be seated. All right, this is our God is Able program. We're doing it in the month of September, in the month of October. And so we need you to step out by faith and do something. Invite somebody to church. Give a little extra. We're going to show you what God can do. All right. Let's talk about learning to be content. Learning to be content. Open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're back into the book of Philippians, and I think it'd be safe to say that most older folks don't like to learn new stuff. What's that old saying? You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, some you can, but I don't think that when it comes to anybody, most people don't like to be content. Most people aren't content with where they're at. And so this morning when we talk about learning and being content, both of those are the focus of the message today. And Paul always has something to say about learning and something. Learning and then what you've learned, go put into practice. In all of his epistles, he has that. Learn this, now go practice it. Learn this, go practice it. We talked about this earlier a couple months ago when Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. He said, what you have learned and received and heard and seen, go and practice. And so this morning, we're going to learn to be content and then go practice it. What is learning? You know me. Define your terms. Basic dictionary definition. Learning is just gaining knowledge by skill or instruction. That's simple learning. And so the Greek word for learn is mentano. And so the etymology of that word, this is where we get mentor from. Think about a mentor, somebody that you learn from and you try to emulate. We get mind from that and we get meditate. It all has to deal with thinking about and learning. And so, but Paul's context here is a little different. His idea is coming to the realization or learning, not so much by instruction, but through experience and practice. Through experience and practice. So in this context here, he says, I have learned by experience and practice to trust or rely on God for everything in my life. And that's where we need to be today. There are two ways that we learn in life. One is by knowledge or information, and the other is by life experiences. And both are very profitable. I think you could probably say there's book smarts and street smarts, right? Both are profitable, but both are probably more needed. And the other part of the focus, not just learning, is going and applying. And today we're talking about being content. Or contentment. And the Bible talks about contentment as two different things. Number one, it's a virtue, and it's also a command. And so, matter of fact, the Bible has a lot to say about contentment or being content. I won't go through a lot of the verses, just give you a couple. Hebrews 13:5, the writer of Hebrews says this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, he says this, but if you have food and clothing, with those two things, be content. Verse 6, he says this two verses earlier, godliness with what? Godliness is to look more like Jesus, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. That's amazing. It's a virtue, and by definition, that is just showing a high moral standard. That's what we want to do. We want to show a high moral standard. And that's what contentment is. And it's a command because God says, with food and clothing, just be happy with that stuff. Be satisfied. But we're not, are we? Most Christians don't experience contentment. Well, most Christians don't experience contentment the way God desires us to do. Does that make sense? I mean, some people are content with certain stuff, but we don't experience contentment the way God designed us to be content. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20, the King James says it this way, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. I mean, enough is never enough. Look, people want new things. We always want new stuff. We got to have new things, new stuff. We want something new, something more exciting, something that the latest phone, the newest gadget, something. We're never satisfied. We always want something new. We got to have something new. Ecclesiastes 1:8, Solomon said this, all things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. We're not able to tell when enough is enough. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. I think personally, the more that you have, really the less content you actually are. And if that's the case, our society today is probably the most discontented society ever. And at some point, you're going to have to be satisfied. At some point, you're going to have to say, I have enough. Right? Let's get into our text this morning and we'll get into our study. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, Paul says this, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, not that at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Verse 11, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and in need. And so let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our context this morning. Greg Pugh, you want to open us in a word of prayer? And amen. Thank you. Look at verse 10. So Paul says in verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that at now at length you have received for your concern for me. You were indeed concerned, but you had no opportunity. So the Philippian church was the only church to provide for Paul's needs while he was in prison. They were the only one to do so. They didn't have an opportunity to do it until they took Epaphroditus and sent their gift to help meet his needs. And Paul didn't beg God's people to help in the work. All he simply did was say, here is the need, and then he trusted God to fulfill that need. That's what we're doing this morning. Ron, can you keep Vicky under control? We love you in Jesus. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's not for us to get even. Let's redirect. So when Paul relied on God for his needs, he said, this is what we have. And then God's people fulfilled that need. That's what we do. I'm not going to lord over things and say, we demand. Here's the need. And we let God's people fulfill that need. Amen? Here's upwards. Here's this. Here's that. Here's we got this. Okay, here's this. Here's this need. Okay, let's fulfill it. God's people step up and fulfill it, you know? We're not going to sit there and hammer everybody, but here's the need. And we just trust God is able to work through people. The power that's working within us, it's within us. We got to do something about it or nothing will happen. And so, but the verse 10 there, he says, or verse 11, he says, I'm content. I have learned to be content. It's the only verse in the Bible that uses this word content that's translated in the English. It comes from the Greek word autarkos, and it means self-sufficient, self-sufficiency. And it became popular in the Greek culture back in Paul's day by the Stoics. And I want to give you a little background of this because it's important that you understand why he uses this word in this particular way. You remember in Acts, I think it's 17 or 19, where Paul is talking on Mars Hill? He was talking to two groups of people. One were the Epicureans and the other was the Stoics. The Epicureans were people that they were hedonists, the pursuit of pleasure. Do whatever makes you feel good. You just go do whatever, and you're allowed to do whatever. Just whatever pleases your heart. Your little heart's desire, you go do whatever. The Stoics were the opposite. They were like the monks. They beat themselves into submission. They had to do absolutely nothing. That's the only way that you could be content and happy, is if you just had this total indifference toward everything and anything, kind of an I don't care attitude. And so that was the Stoics' mindset. So when this word we translate content comes from the Greek word, which meant self-sufficient. They just had this I don't care attitude. It removed all of the emotion and the feelings. Now, this is a different word that Paul's using. He's not using the same word, but he uses it similar to the Stoics in the same context. Not so much self-sufficient, but he was self-reliant. And his reliance, his self-reliance, was on God. He relied on God for everything. And that's how he uses it in this context. And he sums it up in verse 19 here. We won't get to it today, but he sums it up in verse 19 where he says, I have learned by self-sufficiency to rely on God for everything. And this is where you come to the whole summation of this in verse 19 where he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I've just learned by experience to rely on God, and he meets all my needs. That's being content. That's being content. Back to verse 11 and 12 there in Philippians where he says, I'm not being in need. He says, I've learned in whatever situation that I'm in just to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. Sometimes it's the highs and lows of life, right? Sometimes you've got a lot, and then sometimes you're like, ooh, we got to watch what we're doing. Sometimes you get back up there. Sometimes you get back down. Paul knew how to do that. He had abundance. He was brought low. He was put in prison. He was stoned to death. He was this. But in every circumstance, he learned that God provided for his needs. Amen? Amen? And that's what we need to do. We need to learn that in every situation, we need to rely on God. The question becomes, when are we going to learn? When are we going to learn to be content? There was a study that was done 30 years ago in a News and World Report. And they asked folks who made $25K how much would be enough to satisfy them. And they said $50K. And then the people that made $50K, they said, how much is going to satisfy you? You know what they said? $100K. People that made $100K, they asked them the same question. You know what they said? $200. You know what the people that made $200 said? $300. When is enough enough? Here's something funny for you. I went back through and I was looking through some archives. In 1989, when I worked at Odd Lots, and when it was at the old Connolly's building on Ashland Road, I made minimum wage, which was $2.80. That's funny. That's fun. How'd you like to make $2.80? Man, we had to save up for months just to get a $120 car. Are they satisfied with $2.80 now? Man, they want 15 plus. Now they're working to go $20 an hour for minimum wage. It's just crazy. It's crazy. But that's the whole idea. They asked Rockefeller one time, how much, this man had a gazillion dollars back in the day. And they said, how much money is enough? And he said, $1 more. That's always the case. It's always $1 more. You won't find contentment in your pay. Because you'll always want $1 more. It's just, there's no contentment in there. People, how many of you started out with a black and white TV? How many started out with no TVs? It was just radio. Had to come up with your imagination. And then black and white. I was the remote for our TV because we had turned on. And I was the youngest, so then, you know, you always had to get up there and turn that thing. But you don't want black and white. You don't want turn dial. You got to have color. Now it's flat screen, and then it was LEDs, and now it's 4K. And you know what? 4K is outdated now. Now they have 8K. What the heck is that? 4K? 8K? May I just keep going on? Enough is never enough. Well, there's no channels that have 8K. So you got an 8K TV, it's worthless. They're waiting for technology to catch up to them. That's crazy. But you'd never be content if I gave you a little tube TV that was black and white with a turn dial, would you? I don't want that. And my old things. Oh, sorry. That was the state of the art back in the day, wasn't it? You're not going to find contentment in your possessions because there's always going to be something that comes out that you want more. Those old things will just sit there. We talk about jobs, and I will say that some jobs are better than others as far as the pay is better, the benefits are better, the retirement might be better, whatever. But no matter what job you have, here's the problem. There's always going to be somebody else that appears to have a better job than you do. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Always. You're not going to find contentment in a job. Marty Seligman, a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, he conducted a study on depression. And in his study, he found out that there was a sharp increase of depression since World War II. People born after 1945 are 10 times more likely to suffer from depression than people who were born before. Our lives are more comfortable. They're more convenient. We have more activities. We have more entertainment. We have more money. We have more stuff and things. Yet we're less content and more depressed. Seligman's study, he found that depression hardly existed in cultures around the world before they were modernized. Most primitive cultures didn't show any cases of depression. One modern example he showed was a study in Amish country in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He discovered that depression in that Amish community occurred 1/5 of the rate that it did in other places. In his conclusion, he said that self-centeredness is the enemy of contentment. Bigger houses, faster automobiles, fast internet, fast this, more stuff, more things, doesn't deliver contentment. Doesn't make you contentment. Do you know why the good old days were the good old days? You know why they were good? It's because we had less stuff and we were satisfied with what we had. Amen? Amen. The average American spends 8 hours a day watching television. The average American spends 12 hours a day on their cell phone. That's just the average older American from 30 and up, from 29 and down. It's almost like 16, 18 hours a day. It's just ridiculous. Listen to this one. Children ages 0 to 6 spend more time watching TV than they do playing. True story. I saw it, I'm observing it, and I'm giving you my results from my observation. I saw a person whose child watched YouTube videos of children playing with toys that they had in their hands. They watch YouTube videos of children playing with these toys while they had the same toy in their hand, watching TV of them playing with the same toy they have in their hand. This is where we have come. This is where we are at. According to the Gamblers Anonymous, there are 8 million compulsive gamblers in America. 2023, America has spent $966 billion on gambling. In the state of Georgia alone, $3.7 billion was spent on lottery tickets. That's a lot of money. According to the U.S. Labor Expenditure Report, I make sure I read that right, the average American home spends more money on alcohol and tobacco than it does on prescription and over-the-counter drugs combined. Let me read that again. The average American home spends more money on alcohol and tobacco than it does on prescription and over-the-counter drugs combined. That's crazy. That's crazy. God wants us to be content. It's a command. It's a virtue. But if you're trying to be content in any of those things, you will never be content. The only way for you to be content is for you to have the peace of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says this: therefore, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can have the peace of God. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only way you can have peace. That's the only way you can be content. You have to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to be regenerated, as the Bible says. And so once you are a new creature of Christ, then you can be content. And then it's through that power of Jesus that you can have contentment. This is, look at verse 13. This is where we're at. This is what he says: I've learned, and now I put it in practice. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what that verse is all about. I can learn to be content because Jesus Christ is enough. Amen? We can go through all seasons of life and be content with wherever we're at because we have the power of Jesus. Here's the most important factor. You'll never truly be content with anything in this life unless you're satisfied with Christ. God created this universe for His praise, for His glory, and for His honor, and by His grace. And I don't think you understand how important the universe is. In Romans 1, verse 19 through 20, Paul says, for what can be known about God is clearly shown by God. It's plain to us because God's shown it to through creation. For His invisible attributes, namely His power, His divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. God designed the universe and created it to draw people to God. The butterflies, the flowers, the mountains, the waterfalls. God created the universe and the world to draw people to God. Listen, I'm not getting into any of this stuff, but climate change and all that stuff to reduce the carbon footprint, we need to help our environment because it shows the glory of God to people in the world. We need to keep this world because it's a display of God's glory. It brings people to the divine. That's what creation does. God's glory is designed to make us happy, give us joy. And our happiness and God's glory are complementary because His glory shines through our joy. It shines through our happiness. When our happiness is in Him, that's the important aspect. Only when it's in Him. Since God is the source of happiness and He is the greatest treasure in the world. Matter of fact, in the King James, Genesis 15:1, Abraham didn't want anything from the king of Sodom. He didn't want no rewards, no nothing. And God told him in chapter 15, verse 1, He said, Abraham, you did good because I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. God has to be enough. At some point, God has to be enough. John Piper said this. He said, God is one, the only being whom self-exaltation is the most loving act because He is exalting for us what alone only He can give us that will satisfy us fully now and forever. So if we want to exalt ourselves, all we're doing is distracting people from the only being that can make them happy, and that's God. Isaiah 55:1 says, come, everybody who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Well, what is that about? God provides everything you need. All the satisfactions and the necessities of this life are provided in God free. Free to us. It cost him. Psalm 90 verse 14 says this. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. You can be happy and glad and have joy all your days if you're satisfied with God. Amen? John Piper said this, and I put this up here because I want you to see this, and I want you to understand this, remember this, and to know this. I tell you that as Christians, our whole job is to give God glory. We are to glorify God, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, in everything we do, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, in our bodies, everything that we are and everything that we do, we're to glorify God and look like Jesus. John Piper says this, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. I love that. God is most glorified in us when we are satisfied in him. This is what he says back in Philippians 2. He says, everything in this life I considered worthless for the surpassing knowledge of just knowing Jesus Christ. Just your salvation is enough. It should be enough. I'm hoping that it's enough. In Psalm 16:11, the psalmist says this, in your presence, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. This is the aim of our ministry. This is why we do what we do. We don't come here to hammer the Bible in your face. We don't come here to beat you into submission to obedience to God's word. We don't try to do any of those things. All I do is give you what God wants for you, and I let God work through you. That's what Paul did. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. He said, not that we lord it over your faith. We're not dictators over your faith of what you do and don't do. But we work with you for your joy. For you stand firm in your faith. That's why we do ministry here. That's why we're working things out for God's glory and our joy. That's why God created us. That's why Christ died for us. That's why we serve, me and Pastor Matt, as pastors. That's why we preach the Word of God. That's why I encourage you to be saturated with the Word. Because we are all workers together for our joy and God's glory. And when you learn, we need to learn, not just by knowledge, but by experience and practice to be content. So many times Paul said, learn this and go put it into practice. Learn this, go put it into practice. And here's one very practical that has absolutely exponential reward, contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We need to learn by experience to be content. We need to learn. Hebrews 13:5, I'll give you this one again. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, God is always right there. And in his presence is fullness of joy. If he'll never leave you nor forsake you, you'll have everything that you need. And he should be your satisfaction. He should be your satisfaction. God should be enough. Because he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he'll always provide for your needs. What does Philippians 4:19 say? My God shall supply all of your needs according to his glory in Christ Jesus. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. So that begs the question, is God enough? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for just a time to reflect and say, you know, there's so many sparkly things in this world that tries to suck us in and take our focus away from the kingdom and from you. And Father, thank you that your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And it keeps us where we need to be. And so we need to learn to be content. Whether you have given us above in abundance or whether we're suffering need, we need to learn. At the end result, God, you need to be enough for us. So may we show that to a lost and dying world, how just knowing your son Jesus is far better than anything this world has to offer. Just give me your son. Just give me Jesus. Father, whatever the need this morning, I pray that your spirit would allow them to come. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Don't let someone bear a burden today any further than this altar. God, if there's someone who don't know your son as Lord and Savior, let today be the day of salvation. Let that peace with you come to them so they can learn to be content. Whatever the need this morning, Father, we just pray you have your way. And we ask this in Jesus' name.